It embodies issues of environmental policy, civil rights, and the legal status of Native Americans and their treaty rights. The contentious battle over the Dakota Access Pipeline near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation may become a serious test of the Trump administration sometime next year. While the battle for Native American tribes to preserve their land is not a new story, the Wounded Knee confrontation at the Pine Ridge Reservation in 1973 ended in armed conflict. But what's taking place along the North Dakota and South Dakota border involves 200 Native tribes across the United States. It's a raised profile for Native American political and civil rights issues not seen since that 71-day siege at Wounded Knee back in the 70s. Jace Weaver is president of the Native American and Indigenous Studies Association, and he says the protesters aren't going away.
Standing Rock Sioux were given the land where they are now, where the protesters are, in a treaty in 1851. Although it's been taken away, it's never been ceded by treaty or agreement of the Sioux. At times, there have been 7,000 people there. Logistically, that was probably an unrealistic number to maintain. But there still has been a steady core of between 1,500 and 2,000, and they're not going anywhere.
What do you think the test of the Trump administration will be in dealing with the Standing Rock protest?
Well, that's a very fair question. In the past, when they were competing with his own gaming interest in Atlantic City, Donald Trump said some very anti-Indian things, particularly about New England Indians. He said they didn't look Indian to him. He thought he was more Indian than they were. He's an investor in the company that's building the pipeline, too.
How historic would you say this entire episode has been in really signaling that there are going to be a lot more confrontations on energy policy, building, these kinds of things out west?
Well, and on climate change. It's really been a catalyst in the Native American community nationally. I liken it to the late 1960s, early 1970s, when Indians were all but invisible on the national stage. And then through the radical activism of that period, suddenly they became visible. And I think this will continue to reverberate for a long time to come.
Do you think it is headed for some sort of collision? I mean, we saw that in the past there are, you know, notable moments in history, contemporary 20th century history, where the Indian rights movement and the federal government came to blows, to, you know, to almost open warfare. And could this be another one of those?
It could very well be. I hope not, but I think it could very well. Right now, the Army Corps of Engineers has stopped the construction process entirely just a few days ago so that they can go back and engage in their consultative process. But again, a change of administrations in a couple of months could change all of that.
What does consulting actually mean with the tribes, and what would be consulting that the tribes would accept, and what would be consulting that the tribes would consider to be more of a symbolic, dismissive send-off?
Right. Consultation would take into account the cultural and physical impact upon the tribes. We already know that some sacred sites and burial sites have been damaged by the construction that has already taken place. There's a large component of environmental racism here, too. Originally, the pipeline was going to cross the Missouri River north of Bismarck, but when the residents of Bismarck and the state complained that it might endanger Bismarck's drinking water, then they moved it south where it will go over traditionally tribal lands. If that pipeline breaks under the Missouri River or at the lake there, that's pollution all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. It'll hit the Mississippi River at St. Louis and go right on down to the Gulf.
Is treaty law on their side as, you know, treaties being law of the land?
Yes, treaties are the law of the land, and the courts have worked out a process to interpret treaties that treats a treaty like an adhesion contract, a contract that you can't negotiate, like a credit card agreement or a terms of service on software. And it says you have to liberally construe them in favor of the Indians, You have to interpret them as the tribes would have understood it at the time of making, and any ambiguous terms you have to construe in favor of the Indians. So there have been some real gains in court on treaty law.
Would you characterize this protest and the possible confrontation with federal authorities as the new administration starts as a potential 21st century wounded knee?
It certainly has that potential. And when I talked about the visibility Indians gained through the radical activism of the 60s and 70s, of course, Wounded Knee was a big part of that.
And that ended very badly for Native Americans. Would you expect the lessons of Wounded Knee to favor Native people in the 21st century, or would it be the other way around? Has something changed fundamentally?
Certainly, the cohesion of Native American tribes and the solidarity across all tribes and across all Native peoples is much greater than it was in the 1960s and 1970s. So that's in their favor.
Jace Weaver is president of the Native American and Indigenous Studies Association. He spoke to us from Athens, Georgia. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, Ed, how come you didn't show up at the polls last week, buddy?
My name is Ed Davis, and I'm calling from Austin, Texas. Hey, listen, I voted for every presidential election since 1974. I did not vote this time because I was swamped at work, and I was fairly certain that nobody would buy all that crazy populist talk that Donald Trump was advancing. I mean, I thought everybody pretty much saw through the shtick, a flamboyant, eccentric millionaire who breaches contracts, refuses to pay legitimate obligations, that 11 credible women accused him of sexual misbehavior, and yet he escapes the Bill Cosby treatment. I mean, why waste the time voting? It's clear that Hillary Clinton was the better of the rational choices, and who would have thought that America was so gullible?
Who would have thought? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or leave a comment on the Takeaways Facebook page.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity with a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving, training programs that draw from 50 brain games, and tools to compare scores with global averages. Learn more at lumosity.com.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.